Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This is the broadcast for April the 8th in the year of our Lord, 2021. I am Sam Bushman. This is indeed Liberty Roundtable Live. Kirk Crosby's with me. Glad to have him along. Welcome back to the broadcast, sir.
Well, thank you, Sam. Yeah, it's nice to be here. Happy Thursday, everybody. Wait a minute.
It's a good day. Kurt's out of uniform. He's breaking protocol now, Kurt.
You want to hear the same old stuff as what you're saying, Sam?
Everybody's looking for a good old Buenos Dias. Come on.
Okay. Buenos Dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
Do you know that Buenos Dias stuff is legendary, Kurt? Do you realize that? Are you aware of that?
Well, I think many times I'm a legend in my own mind. that kind of thing.
Yeah, all I'm telling you is I have people that have literally called me and emailed me and said, man, where the heck is Kurt? I haven't heard Buenos Dias on the radio and, you know, that kind of stuff. And so anyway, we gotta have that back at least on occasion, you know. So there you go. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Hope you're all doing absolutely fantastic. Kirk Cosby's with me. We talked last hour about the cryptocurrency discussion with Brian Rust, rustcoinandgift.com. We got our honest money update. We got a gold and silver update. Honest Money Report, gold is at $1,750 even. Silver's at $25.52 right now. And we talked about Uncle Sam moves to control cryptocurrency. Folks, I told everybody, don't dip your toe in the crypto, because now the IRS is asking taxpayers, listen, have you ever received, sold, sent, or exchanged cryptocurrency? Literally, the IRS sent letters to more than 10,000 people that they think might be involved in the cryptocurrency there, and they're going to use the dragnet. They're going to use the John Doe summons to get to the bottom of this thing, and it's very, in my opinion, very scary. We'll leave that alone. I'm just telling you, we warned people to try to protect people. It's not that we hate cryptocurrencies. I know some people are kind of mad at me. They're like, Sam, you've lost your, understanding of the Constitution. This is a dream come true for us patriots. We can dodge the government, and, we can have our cake, and we can eat it, too. It'll be phenomenal. And I said, look, it isn't that way, folks. And then they're like, well, you don't understand the technology, Sam. And then I just said, okay, you guys can think what you want, but I'm warning you, it isn't going to go well. Because there's no money plan on the planet that the government's going to let you get away with that allows you to live outside their system. Okay, if you read the Bible, you'll understand, ladies and gentlemen, that you're not going to be able to buy or sell anything at some point. Now, I don't know when and what the mark of the beast entails and is and all that. I'm not a prophet. But I am telling you that you will not live outside the system for long. They'll even let some of those things grow. But it's kind of like supporting Donald Trump. They'll let you be a big Donald Trump supporter. But eventually they'll use the dragnet and they'll come back and say, now we got a database of the Donald Trump supporters. And, that's what a lot of this cryptocurrency growing is all about. But when you have a currency, like cryptocurrency on a blockchain, and you don't know who even created the methodology behind it, Kurt, and everybody believe it's safe and effective and there's no way to hack it, no way to manipulate it, but you don't even know who created it. If you don't know who created it, how do you know they don't have a plan in place behind the scenes to have a backdoor, to have a manipulatability factor? How do you know if you don't even know who created it? And it's interesting to me how the patriots just go into this with their eyes closed, it seems to me, completely ignorant of the truth on the matter. They think the government can't get into it. It's all secure and that somebody created it, but we don't know who, but yet it's secure and safe. And it's like the perfect formula. Absolutely 100% transparent, but 100%. Well, I'm sorry, 100% secret, but 100% transparent at the same time. Doesn't the whole idea defy logic, Kurt?
Well, of course, Sam, but when do you use logic when dealing with government? That's just kind of an out. Isn't that oxymoron or whatever. But, you know, it brings up the idea, at least in my opinion, that, you know, we always try to present, and that is the simple idea that, hey, there are solutions. We know of, you know, better solutions than using the, well, beloved IRS on the American people. And that is, you know, I mean, for example, you look back at the Constitution, you see that when they had the proper taxing, I mean, you had the tariffs on foreign countries that were trying to bring their goods and products, well, anything into America, and the federal government was supposed to put those tariffs on there to raise the funds that were necessary for them to operate on. And if there were any other needed funds from a wise and frugal government, you know, you would, let's say there was a dollar shortfall per person in America, then you would just kind of send out the notice to each state and say, look, you know, you've got so many citizens, you know, Texas, you've got, I don't know how many million, and Utah, you've got your share. You guys need to send in a dollar per person, and we'll have our books balanced here at the federal government. Maybe Joe's never heard of that, you know, but at least to me, it's nice to know there are real solutions. I mean, isn't it?
It's hard to comprehend, to be honest with you. It's just hard to understand. And I'll tell you what else is hard to understand. Not only the cryptocurrency stuff, and not only the way that they, you know, logic doesn't work within government. Maybe that's been my problem all along. But now you got it. The headline says these Ivy League institutions are now going so far as using racism to end racism is how it works, Kurt. Take the prestigious Columbia University. The school recently announced they will be holding distinct and separate graduation ceremonies, six of them, based on race, gender identity, and socioeconomic status. Columbia University, its website lists separate graduations now for the Native American, Asian, Latins, and black students for Columbia College, Columbia Engineering, General Studies, and Barnard College. Another ceremony, dubbed the, quote, fly graduation, caters to students who are, let's see, what is this? First generation, I guess, Americans, and or low-income community graduates. Of course, Columbia will also have a lavender graduation specifically for gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, and whatever. In a statement, that'll mean, well, I guess they say it'll be, the reason they want to separate this, Kurt, is in the COVID pandemic, it'll create a more intimate, let's see, these segregated events will create a much more intimate setting for students and guests to gather. They can, you know, celebrate the achievements of their communities. They can add their culturistic differences into the graduations. And all ceremonies will be held virtually. Kurt, you want to respond to that?
Well, you know, it's kind of sad to think of the term lavender that in the circles that I run into, you know, the term is, I mean, every so often somebody will say, do you have some lavender, honey? You know, or I mean, you've got these nice oils that some people use that are based with lavender, and yet seems like there's always the wrong use of these nice terms that in life we've used before. And, you know, and when it comes to this whole racism and stuff like that, it just seems like we ought to follow the good counsel that I've heard before about, for example, about bullying. You know, they just say, stop it, you know, and if we could just stop it on so many of this kind of crazy things where girls are called boys and boys are called girls, and or you can't even call them either one of those, you know. I mean, it's just, it seems like up is down and down is up and et cetera so many times, doesn't it, Sam?
Yes, indeed. In fact, they have what's called the National Association of Scholars. And they're now reporting that not only will it be Harvard, it'll be Stanford, Arizona State University, UC of Berkeley, UCLA, and all these different schools will be basically practicing the same segregated ceremonies. In fact, Harvard, Kurt, not only do they even have a gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender one, if you want to join that baby, they even have what's called an undocumented graduation for students who are in the country illegally, sir.
Wow. It's, you know, illegals have so many rights. It's just, amazing how they're so protected in America. I mean, if you're a little baby trying to be born, I mean, you're just like persona non grata, you know what I mean? But if you're,
yes,
somebody trying to sneak across the border, whether it's these Yemenis that were apprehended and how many more, kind of terrorists are trying to sneak across the southern border now, you just got to think, man, America, we've got some work to be done. But, hey, it's always been the same way.
They used to sneak across the border, Kurt. But you know what they do now?
That's right.
They cross the border, and the first thing they do is they look for a government official, and then right when they see the government official, they say, hey, where's my Easter basket?
That's right. Or where's my, Santa surprise,
Yeah.
Right?
I heard Christmas was waiting for me. That's what Joe said. All right, Liberty Roundtable Live. I'm Sam. He's Kurt. You're you. Thanks for being alongside for the ride. Hard-hitting talk. Always at your fingertips on Liberty Roundtable Live.
The spirit of the American West is live and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues affecting the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like the 2021 Real Buckaroo Calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Well, my mom smokes and my dad smokes, and I saw them smoking, so I tried it. They're telling me not to smoke, but they smoke themselves.
When it comes to smoking, are you sending mixed signals?
But when you teach someone a certain way to do things and you go back on that certain way, it sends mixed signals to the person that they're trying to teach. The parents need to be the example.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
So, you two are real actors, huh?
Well, I was an extra on a soap opera for 3 years.
And I'm best known for starring in cat food commercials. Mm. Yeah.
And you're going to play our parents for how long?
Oh, just during dinner for the next few years, probably until you're both off to college. Your real parents will be back every night at 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock?
Hey, your dad's busy. He's got work, softball, client functions.
Yeah, and your mom, she's got the literary club and play rehearsals. So.
Don't you worry. They'll be back on time.
Otherwise, we get time and a half.
Ka-ching! Okay, according to the script, we're supposed to ask you how your day was.
Yes.
Okay, I guess.
Ooh, is that the best you can do?
I think I want my real parents.
I don't see that in the script.
No ad-libbing, please.
There's no substitute for a loving parent. And when you're really there, you'll know how much you care. From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, for more tips on strengthening your family, visit family.mormon.org.
All right, so all these colleges and universities across the country are using racism to end racism. They've got all kinds of separate, distinct, segregated graduations for 2021. It's just very strange. You can have an Asian one. You can have a black one. The only people that aren't really represented are white people. I guess they just have standard graduation. Anyway, they got a graduation literally for the gays, the lesbians, bisexuals, transgenders. They even got a graduation for the undocumented immigrant, the illegal alien there. They get a graduation at some of these prestigious universities, too. And these people are off the rails, Kurt. But now there's a lot of pushback that I want to bring up related to this, too. People are sick of it. Now, I've mocked the racism Schmacism, to borrow James Edwards' book title to make the point, for literally years, because it's so absurd. You know what? Charles Barkley, well-known NBA former star, it really hit it and said it best. He said, you know what? They're trying to divide blacks and whites and everybody in America. The politicians are doing it. The big business and people are doing it because they want to lord over us, and they benefit when we all fight. But you know what? We got to stop it. In the real world, I don't think that's what's really going on. It's just the mainstream press in bed with big business and big government that makes us think that we're all enemies. But you know what? Charles Barkley continues, I think that the white people and the black people are generally good people and that everybody gets along just fine. And I would agree with Charles Barkley. But as you know, this wedge is being driven on all fault lines, whether it be male, female, black, white, tall, short, ugly, pretty, fat, skinny, whatever they want to, you know, rich, poor, whatever. All these fault lines are being driven by the media, but it's primarily the educational institutions that are really carrying this forward. So it's not really a surprise to see segregations in government-backed, taxpayer-funded institutions. But now there's a lot of pushback. People are just absolutely sick of it. And the headline says this, grassroots rebellion grows with new calls to ban critical race theory from the military and from public schools, says the Epoch Times. First off, Kurt, do you even know what critical race theory is, sir?
Well, I've heard the term and I've tried to understand it, you know, it seems like so many of these kind of things will just kind of bob and weave, in other words, based on, what needs to be the current definition of them, or doesn't it, Sam, sometimes?
Yeah, critical race theory is this, Kurt. The critical race theory, CRT, if you will, basically views all white people as racist oppressors and all people who are colored as the oppressed and therefore thus incapable of being racist. So you understand, you're white, you're the oppressor, you're a racist by nature. Anybody not white is oppressed and therefore cannot be. They're incapable of being a racist. So the critical race theory says this idea that, you know what, America is inherently this way. It's embedded in the DNA of America that you're white, you're racist, you're an oppressor. Anybody non-white is the victim, is the abused. And you know what, they cannot by nature be racist. They're just suffering under your abuse. This critical race theory is what's been indoctrinated into our children for many years, and it's on steroids now, Kurt.
Well, yeah, they don't have time in school to teach like 2 + 2 = 4, you know, and that kind of stuff, because they're busy with things like, you know, critical race theory these days, right, Sam?
That's basically the point. And the point is that, you know, if you don't understand this critical race theory or you don't believe that you're a racist, it just here's what they'll say. It just shows how systemic it really is. You know what systemic means, right, Kurt?
Well, yeah, it means it's everywhere. You know what I mean?
It's everywhere. It's so embedded in your DNA. In fact, it's your white privilege that makes it to where you don't even really realize what's going on. You've been so protected, so privileged, so blessed by this racism in your country to where you're so above it, Kurt. You live your life so in a wealthy way, in a special, you know, entitled way, to the point where you can't even understand it. You're so far removed. And that just proves that you really are that way. So, see, it's this self-fulfilling kind of prophecy or idea or statement that if you deny it, it's because you're just so ignorant, you're so above it, you're so protected, you're so white privileged that you don't even understand or acknowledge it. That's the deal. And if you admit to it, then you grovel and it doesn't do you any good, though, because tomorrow they're just pushing for more. See, it's not that you got to acknowledge it. It's not that you got to wear a collar, a slave collar to prove your subservience. It's not that you got to provide reparations for the slaves and those who have been downtrodden by you and your ancestors' abuses. Never mind the history of your ancestors, whether they were involved or not. Never mind if your ancestors were indentured white servants. None of those things make any difference. You're guilty. You must experience white guilt. You're privileged. And there's nothing you can do to change that narrative. Nothing. Zero. And you'll grovel and you'll ask for, you know, forgiveness, and you'll do But it'll never, ever be enough, Kurt. Because the abuse was so egregious, it can never be overcome. And that's the divide narrative that they're using to turn us into a communist nation, Kurt. Racism has nothing to do with the truth. It has everything to do with the divide that pushes the narrative that forces America to lose her great status as good, moral, melting pot people standing together to say, hey, we love liberty and we want to embrace liberty and we want to support families and we want to support everybody's heritage and be kind to one another. And that whole narrative has got to go away. You got to divide people, and then pretty soon it'll be the God-fearing or the Christians versus everybody else. Okay, so they're using these divide factors. Critical race theory has nothing to do with reality, everything to do with the divide and conquer tactic being used on the American people. And the educational institutions primarily are the ones that have been peddling, in my opinion, this, quote, theory. Okay, they can't even admit that it's a fact. It's just a critical race theory, CRT, that views all white people as the racist oppressors and everybody non-white as the victim, and therefore they can't be racist because they're a victim. I mean, how can you be a racist when you're a victim, Kurt? See, and so it denies the truth. And as long as we're going to deny the truth and peddle that with our taxpayers in government school, we got a row to hoe to educate. But I'm shocked about it because it's so pervasive. So many people have bought into this lie. But now I'm delighted a little bit to see that people are starting to wake up. They call it a grassroots rebellion. Now, I personally think the ones that are telling the lies are rebelling against morality and the truth and honesty. But they call us the ones that are rejecting this critical race theory. They're saying that we're rebelling, Kurt.
That's kind of standard, isn't it? Remember how the way Hillary and Bill would do it is, you know, you just have to look over there. If there was a story about them dealing with the Russians and the uranium or whatever else, then they got accused of President Trump of it. And so then, you know, that's just the standard way the bad guys do it. They accuse you of the thing they're guilty of. And so then, you know, you spend time trying to, you know, absolve yourself. And that's just how that works, right?
Yes, yeah, sadly, that's right. Well, here's what's happening. I guess this mother...
Ghislaine Maxwell. Remember that lady?
Ghislaine lady's name. That Good point. Yep, yeah. Last hour... Anyway, we're talking about Ghislaine Maxwell. That's right.
Found her.
Appreciate that. Yeah. Anyway, so this mother sued Nevada's Democracy Prep Charter School, Kurt, in federal court in December after her son William was forced to describe himself in the government/charter school as a racist. Why? Because of his apparent Caucasian ethnicity. All right, so they said he's a white guy. He's going to be forced to admit that he's a racist because he's a white guy. So the mother sued because he was forced to do this in government school in class. But here's the problem with it. You ready, Kurt?
Yep.
His mom's African-American. His deceased father was Caucasian. My son is the only white student in his class. As far as we can tell, this teacher is blatantly justifying racism against white people, therefore putting my son into a psychological... and into physical danger. This is not okay, says the African-American mother. The Flynn and Clark federal lawsuits are part of a rapidly growing national movement against the inclusion of CRT-based materials in classrooms, corporate training, and the federal government. Now, the interesting thing about this, Kurt, is this. So let me get this right. This kid has a black mom and a deceased white father. So he's half black, half white, as far as I can tell. Some call that mulatto. Some say that's racially offensive. I don't even know. All I know is the guy's got an African-American mom, a black mother, and a white father. And so he looks white, Kurt. And so they call him a white guy. And therefore, he's got to run around and tell everybody he's a racist. Now, Barack Obama, on the other hand, has a white mother and a black dad. Of course, he's the first black president, don't you know? As far as I can tell, both of those guys are half black and half white, right? Are we going to look at their ethnicity? Are we going to look at their DNA? Or are we just going to look at them physically and say, guy looks white, he's white. Guy looks black, he's black. How does it all work? We'll talk about it with Kurt Crosby in seconds on your radio.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Democrat Senator Joe Manchin said on Wednesday he is opposed to using a procedural process known as reconciliation to pass legislation without Republican support, dealing a setback to President Biden's chances of passing a $2.3 trillion infrastructure bill. The CDC is reporting the U.S. government will allot 85% less Johnson & Johnson COVID-19 vaccines to states next week. A report last week said that workers at a facility in Baltimore mixed up ingredients of two vaccines, ruining 15 million Johnson & Johnson doses. An abandoned four-month-old baby is in good condition after he was found hypothermic in a wooded area on the banks of a Michigan creek near Detroit, Michigan. Local residents said the woman appeared distraught and said she believed someone was chasing her with guns. A 10-foot-long alligator was hauled away by trappers after he was found under a parked car at a Tampa, Florida apartment complex last week. Trappers safely hauled the animal to a nearby alligator farm. USA Radio News.
Could an ancient mystery be determining the events of our time? Could it reveal the secret of our future? Are recent events a warning that we are approaching judgment? How much time do we have left? Author Jonathan Kahn releases the book that reveals what could not be revealed until now. His newest New York Times bestseller, The Harbinger 2, The Return, embark on an epic journey to uncover the mysteries and revelations that are changing the world and will change your life. Available online and wherever fine books are sold.
The MyPillow Premium Pillow Special continues at MyPillow.com. If you go to MyPillow.com, click on the Radio Listener Special, use my promo code USA. You can get a standard or queen-size premium MyPillow for $29.98. That's a $40 savings. King-size, only $5 more. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the Radio Listener Square, use my promo code USA or call 1-800-951-8175.
Almost half of border personnel are no longer watching the border and are trying to corral the masses attempting to get into the United States. Tim Berg from the Phoenix USA Radio News Bureau reports.
Congressional Republicans are wrapping up a two-day trip to the Texas border. As far as some of the things they observed, Ohio Republican Congressman Jim Jordan.
Yesterday we saw at the Donna facility one pod which is supposed to, under current COVID protocols, house at a maximum 33 children, and yet there were 527 kids in that pod alone. So when they say this is chaos and unlike anything we have ever seen, that is true.
Jordan also saying 40% of Border Patrol manpower is used for processing, and that means the border is going unprotected.
Isolated severe storms will be possible from the deep south to the Ohio Valley as a cold front shifts slowly eastward. Strong winds and very dry conditions will keep fire weather threats critical in the southwest United States. USA Radio News.
All right, Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby back with you live on your radio. Hard-hitting talk at your fingertips. LibertyRoundTable.com, LovingLiberty.net. Spread the word, tell the tale, would you please? So, Kurt, the bottom line is I don't really get it. So this kid, he's half black, half white, I guess. Mother's black, mom or dad's white. He looks white, and so they literally say, hey, you got to basically articulate that you're a racist in this critical race theory kind of a thing. You're a racist, and, well, the mom didn't like it. She says, hey, critical race theory, CRT, is bogus. My son's as much black as he is white. He's of mixed race. But to make him, because he looks white, into a white supremacist or a racist, is just wrong. So she's suing. Well, take Barack Obama, who's got a white mother and a black father, and he looks black, of course. So he's black. And so my question is, do you look at the DNA, Kurt? Do you look at the ethnicity? Do you look at the, what do you determine is the factor to decide if somebody's black or white? You just look at them and visually make a check? Or do you look at their DNA? How do we know somebody's black or white? Because, see, the first president's half black, half white, and this poor gentleman is black, half and half white. But yet one looks blacker, one looks whiter, but they're both as black or white as the other from a DNA point of view, right?
Well, you know, you've got these different levels of, correctness in this day, Sam. I mean, you know, if you're black, remember, you have more, I guess you could say, you got a higher priority than a white person.
You got more clout,
right?
My friend.
Yeah, that's right. Along this line, have you heard the term creamy?
Yeah, when I eat ice cream, they say this ice cream's really creamy.
Okay. No? Well, anyway, there's a movie called...
No, I haven't, actually. I don't know.
Well, anyway, there's a movie called Australia, and it's a 2008 film. It's got Nicole Kidman and Hugh Jackman, and it turns out I just watched it again last night. But in it, there's a situation where they talk about these creamies, and that was you'd have these white fathers who would, father children with... the Aborigine women there, et cetera. And then they'd have what they call these half Aboriginal children. And so in the movie, they call them creamies, where it's, it's not exactly black or exactly white. And they actually had, place where they would kind of separate them and put them off. They would take them from the mothers. They actually had laws where they would go and round them up. And, it's pretty interesting part of history that I was unaware of. So I guess you could say that Barack Obama and, others, I guess, in that category would be creamies, Sam, but it was interesting to me to you said
let me understand
he was the first
thing.
Black yeah
according to the Australia film 2008 film this film called Australia mm-hmm. You got this people called creamy, which are basically mixed race children,
right?
And I guess they by nature have magic too, right? They're special people, right?
Well, the Aborigines, at least they would have these interesting ways that most of us, those who aren't in that society wouldn't understand, but they, they have these ways of, like, singing to the earth or whatever, and it's just kind of interesting, at least to me, the story. But since you brought up mixed race thing, I thought it might be appropriate. When you look at the first black president, I thought Bill Clinton was told as the first black president, because I remember he had, it seemed like there was some connection to that himself, right? Didn't he? In his history, at least I know we've talked about his... son that at least says he's Bill Clinton's son, and he's from a black woman, right?
Yes, and I guess I'm kind of coming back to this whole discussion whether we call them creamies or, and I don't know if that's an offensive term. I just, again, I'm so white privileged that I don't know how to navigate this. Anything I say, I'll just put my foot in my mouth, and I won't even intend to be evil, but I just by nature am because I'm white, and therefore I just want the demise of everyone but myself and my privilege and my, don't take me out of my comfort zone idea. But I don't know if you call them the creamies. Back when I was young, they used to call people who were part white, part black, or whatever you want, mixed race, and I don't even know if I'm using the right terms there. But they used to call them mulattoes, Kurt. Is that more offensive than creamy?
I've heard that. Yeah, I don't know. I suppose you're just automatically offensive if you're a white guy, Sam. So I mean, I, as far as that goes, I guess we're offensive,
But here's the thing, Kurt. I want to just look at everybody as children of God, and I want to say, God's race is the human race, and we the people. Yeah. Should be kind and considerate and respectful to one another. And if we're born in different countries or we have different, pigmentation in our skin, so our skins are different colors, or we have different attributes based on our race or whatever, whether we're adapted to the societal realities that we're in, whether it's societally based or nature versus nurture discussion. And, we have our differences, but in the end, as far as I can tell, we all, have a lot of similarities. We're way more similar than we are different. My hair might be straight, somebody else's might be curly, my eyes might be blue, somebody else's eyes might be green, or, somebody might be tall and I might be short. There's differences to be sure. But I would submit that most people at their core, number one, they're children of God. He loves us all. We should be equal before God and for government when it comes to our rights. And I guess I would kind of say, despite those differences, Kurt, aren't all of us the same in that we just want to love and be loved. We just want to contribute, and we just want to be accepted. And the best place that I can find for that would be the family, where we can nurture one another and love and care for one another, and we can create a home, a stable place to live and learn and grow. And you know what? We can all achieve, at least in America, the American dream, where, you know what? You can work hard and prosper and benefit from the fruit of your labor or the work of your hands, and you can use your talents to become anything you want to be. And can't we just work on making that possible for everybody in America and even outside of America, and just say, we'd like to make people great again. We'd like to make the world great again. Yeah, if you live in a specific country, we'd like to make that country great again. And, you know, can I really advocate for all that and still be a racist, Kurt? I mean, that's all I really want.
I know, Sam, but you have to go back to, you know, point A, which is, say, if you're a white guy, then you're just automatically there no matter what they say, right?
And so here's the question then. If I can never overcome that based on their critical race theory, and I'm white and there's nothing I can do about it, it's so systemic, I'll never overcome it, then I guess the first question that I would ask is, why should I even try to overcome it? And secondly, if I'm that way and I can't do anything about it, why even talk about it then? I mean, you can't. It's kind of like, you know, God says that you can't even add one cubit to your height or whatever. All I'm saying is, if there's nothing I can do about it, then why even talk about it? It's just the way it is, and there's no point even explaining it or talking about it, because there's nothing that can be changed or corrected or improved upon. See, that's if you believe that lie. On the other hand, what if you believe, Kurt, that we can learn to be kinder and gentler to other people? We can learn to be appropriate, and even if we're different from people, it's natural to kind of recoil from what you're different, you know, your differences. You're a sighted person, and you've never seen a blind person in your entire life. You're naturally going to kind of recoil from that blind person. You're going to be going, oh, man, he's weird. His eyes look all over the place, or he never looks at me when he talks to me, and, you know, the guy's just creepy. The guy's just weird. Every difference that we have is going to be a little bit alienating to some degree. And it's okay. You know what? If little kids think I'm weird or whatever else because I'm a blind person, or if they think somebody's weird because they're black, or they think, oh, your hair, you know, in certain countries, if you're a blonde girl and you got really nice blonde hair, everybody wants to touch your hair. Or if you're in a white place and they all want to touch the black girl or the black boy's, you know, afro or hair or whatever, or cornrows or whatever they are. You know, all it is that differences are noted by people, and differences are hard for people to navigate. And I think the big key, the big opportunity, is for us to learn to set aside differences and say, hey, so he's blind and he can't see. I can learn about that. Oh, so he's white, or he's black, or he's, or she's this and that. And we can learn about that. And isn't part of the great experience on this earth, Kurt, to learn to understand and accept people's differences and learn to treat people, to minister to people, to in ways that would be kind and gentle and supportive and charitable and loving? And can't we just work on learning how to build everybody up and support everybody and strengthen everybody and give everybody every opportunity possible? And look, the pie's big enough in America. I don't have to sacrifice my, quote, privilege to allow everybody to have privilege. I'd like everybody to do well and be loved and realize they're godly and their American heritage, because that's where, in my opinion, acceptance comes and genius is born. On the other side, Kurt will respond. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live.
As you all know, Roe versus Wade has resulted in some of the most permissive abortion laws anywhere in the world. For example, in the United States, it's one of only 7 countries to allow elective late-term abortions, along with China, North Korea, and others. Right now, in a number of states, the laws allow a baby to be born from his or her mother's womb in the 9th month. It is wrong. It has to change. Americans are more and more pro-life. You see that all the time. In fact, only 12% of Americans support abortion on demand at any time. Under my administration, we will always defend the very first right in the Declaration of Independence, and that is the right to life.
As a parent, parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
All right, so we're talking about the creamy people in a movie Kurt's watched called Australia, 2008 film. Very strange movie, I'll tell you that right now. Anyway, the creepy people are mixed-race people, and they're not allowed to attend some of the events because, of course, they're, I don't know what you call it, not privileged, I guess, is the idea. But whether you call them creamy people, whether you call them mulattoes, whether you know, you got to kind of wonder some of this stuff, Kurt. But what about the world I'm trying to advocate for? Any thoughts on this?
Well, I would say I got to agree with you 1,000%, Sam, or 1,001 or whatever the number would be. You know, in other words, as children of God, we should treat each other as such. And that would mean you follow the Ten Commandments, you love your neighbor, as yourself, you love your, and you pray for your enemies, which, that's one of the toughest ones, I think. But I guess we could all start a campaign to pray for Nancy and Chuck, that kind of thing. But, send them love notes or whatever. I mean, it's kind of weird. But, as we really think of the power of love, I think there's a song about that. But, that it is, it is a powerful way of responding. And I think of the Savior and his teachings at the time when the Jews apparently had been, used to pretty much hating their enemies and that kind of thing. And he taught that they should love them and treat them nicely. And, it's, when you talk about the term revolution, I don't know if you can get much more revolutionary than that, right, Sam?
Amen to that. And, the Savior Jesus Christ, what color was his skin? I imagine that he had kind of an olive-tone skin, Kurt, coming from the region that he came from, etc., and all that kind of stuff. I don't know that Jesus was exactly white in the traditional sense, or, but others are saying, hey, what about the black Jesus, or what about this, or what about that? And I don't understand why this obsession on race or color or pigmentation in one's skin or whatever. Anyway, Cameron, our board op producer on the break, kind of mentioned this to me too, Kurt, that I want to bring up. I want to give him credit for the thought. I don't know if you know, but there are black people that are DNA black, but yet they're albino because, sometimes when, babies are created, everything doesn't go perfect. And so what about a black person that's albino? So they're super white, way whiter than I am, than you are by far. They're albino, but yet they're black. Is there such thing as a black albino? And how does that work out? If you look at them, you're not going to say they're black, I don't think, but yet their DNA, their ethnicity is black or whatever. And so, I don't know how to handle all this, except for to say, if we want to look at solutions, what we do is we set aside all this race garbage and we just simply say, look, we love God's children. We want to be kind to everybody. We want to help everybody do well and prosper. And man, if I do well, I don't have to look at the pie and say, I got to do well for you to do bad. I want to make sure that you do horrible so that I do well. That's an outdated idea, in my opinion. It's redneck, outback, whatever you want to call it. Crazy. The fact is, the pie is big enough for me to do well and you to do well. We can create a win-win-win situation. We can trust God. He wins when we follow his commandments. We can do good to one another, and we both win. We all three win that way, me, you, and God, regardless of what race or color or creed or ethnicity or whatever word they want to use, and regardless of all those things. And I think if we treat each other that way, I think we can create a monumental change. I mean, Michael Jackson, who was what, black and tried to make himself white, kind of? This guy talked about change like that, Kurt. Look at the man in the mirror, and we can have this change. And, you know, I'm convinced that it is doable if we use our hearts and minds. We're not the animals of the world, Kurt. We've been given intellect by God Almighty. We've been given agency by God Almighty. And we can use our intellect to understand that we're all the children of God, and then we can use our agency to decide to behave in ways that would be, I don't know what words to use. I don't want to be so cynical or so that I become sacrilegious. That's the word. I want to be very careful here, but I think we have a godly heritage. We're the sons and daughters, the offspring of God, according to the Bible. I realize that Jesus Christ is the only begotten of the Father in the flesh. I understand, but we're spiritually God's children, and he loves us. And so I guess I'm saying that if we have this godly heritage as his sons and daughters, I think that our intellect could be used to make choices and use our agency that would be becoming of our godly heritage. And I think we need to learn to treat people that way. That's really what I would advocate for and promote, Kurt, if it were up to me only to set the kind of narrative and give people kind of the hope and the future and the vision. That's what I would pray for and advocate for. That's who I am and what I want, what I would encourage, not only in America, but around the world, sir.
Well, you know,
Global acceptance of these ideas, Kurt.
It brings to mind the song from Steve Voss, Thank God for the Renegades. And, most people hear the term and they think, oh, you know, that's the evil guys, whatever. And yet, Jesus and his crowd would have been certainly renegades at that time. And speaking of that, Sam, there's a headline that I think might be, useful here to bring it back to modern days. I think this one looks pretty interesting from WorldNet Daily. Bob Unruh says, odds are increasing for Trump to become U.S. House Speaker. Subheadline, conservative voter turnout would be through the roof nationwide. And I guess, our buddy there at WorldNet Daily, who's the owner there? Joseph Farah was the first one who had originated this idea. And I guess, he said basically the story says it was only 4 days after Joe Biden's inauguration that Joseph Farah suggested in 2022 the American people are expecting Republicans to take the Congress back. It's ever so close right now. Biden is not just making me sick. I'm sure he's having the same effect on multitudes. What's next? He says, once we have the House and Senate, we can impeach Joe Biden and Kamala Harris for high crimes and misdemeanors, not phony ones like they had to manufacture against President Trump, but real weighty crimes. And then he says that would leave House Speaker Kevin McCarthy as President of the United States only temporarily. As President, he could appoint anyone in the interim he chose as Vice President. He would select Donald J. Trump in early 2023, then McCarthy would resign, leaving Trump as President. After all, who would have more experience and wisdom? Anyway, it's just an interesting idea. Apparently, the House can select, actually, Sam, anybody they want to be the Speaker of the House. It's not, the rules don't say you even have to be a member of the House, but there have been some who said that he should just run for whatever district he's in Florida there, and then be elected. I guess Steve Bannon's kind of weighed in on it in his program called War Room, and he was speaking to some of the folks up in Boston. This is according to the Boston Herald, and he says, Trump is a disruptor, but he has a long-term vision. He says, because I absolutely believe in the marrow of my bones that he will be our nominee in 2024, He says he'll come back to us. We'll have a sweeping victory in 2022, and he'll lead us in 2024. That's what Steve Bannon said. And he says we must totally get rid of Nancy Pelosi. The first act of President Trump as Speaker will be to impeach Joe Biden for his illegitimate activities of stealing the presidency. So there's some interesting stuff moving along there. I mean, you don't hear much about the idea of President Trump being Speaker of the House, but I guess they did ask this question there at WorldNet Daily. Would you like to see Donald Trump as Speaker of the House? And, 97% of the respondents said, yeah. So
it would so let me respond, interesting Kurt. Thing. Number one, do I think it'll be? I think there's a very good chance it could be, Kurt. Americans are realizing just how extreme and how whacked out and how crazy these people that associate with Ocasio-Cortez and Nancy Pelosi and Joe Biden, how crazy and communistic and socialist and destroying of the republic they really are. And so people are realizing that Donald Trump was a whole lot more right on than they gave him credit for being. A lot of people are understanding that reality now. So, number one, do I think it's possible? Yes, I do. In fact, I think it's more than possible. I don't know if it'll happen for sure. I think it greatly depends on we the people. But I think it certainly could happen. There's no doubt about it. Secondly, do we want it to happen was the WorldNet Daily question. And I would say yes, Kurt. Compared to what we've got, I think Trump would be a breath of fresh air. And I think that we do need to get, again, I do believe there was election fraud. And I do believe we need to get to the bottom of it. I believe the system's just so corrupt that good, honest people so far haven't been able to prevail. But you know what? The wheels of justice do grind slow, sad to say. But the good news is they grind. And the good news is that the truth usually comes out. When I say usually, eventually it will come out for sure. The question is how quickly, right? We didn't get the truth out quick enough to let Donald Trump stay in the presidency and stop Joe Biden from criminal activity. Nevertheless, though, I do believe that the truth will come out on this, Kurt. And I believe every day President Trump is being more and more and more vindicated. And I think the people are starting to see that reality. So I would hope that Trump could become Speaker of the House and create some accountability. I have my doubts because I think the system is so corrupt. But if we the people stand up and demand accountability, I think we can make it happen, Kurt. That's what I think. And that's what I would hope.
It's interesting, Sam, that, you know, and I agree with you. I guess one of the latest to join on this whole campaign is a guy named Ed Martin. Do you remember who that is?
Say that again.
Anyway, the guy's name is Ed Martin. He's the current president of the Eagle Forum, the one that Phyllis Schlafly led for years. And so now he has told, well, he says, I'm serious. We need the Trump voters. With the possibility of having Donald Trump as speaker, conservative voter turnout would be through the roof nationwide. And I think he's, you know, got a really good point there. And he is kind of a heavy hitter as compared to, you know, guys like, well, not besides you, but I mean, guys like me. I mean, this guy is a heavy hitter. Paul Bedard mentioned that in his Washington Secrets story. He says there's a lot of buzz for Trump as speaker. So it's interesting, you know, and I, you know, yet to hear that talk about on the Rush Limbaugh program or the Sean Hannity program or the Glenn Beck program, but maybe they just don't have the staff to find a story like this, Sam. I mean,
well, ladies and gentlemen, it is on Liberty Roundtable Live. And odds are increasing for Donald Trump to become U.S. House Speaker. Conservative voter turnout would be through the roof, writes Bob Onra. And he's absolutely right as rain. By the way, last story of the hour, crime surges as progressive policies gain ground. Yep, the 2021 crime statistics are in, ladies and gentlemen. And the news is not good. In almost every category, violent crime across America, in urban America, it's rising, folks. Pray and work towards peace, would you please? We're all God's children. Let's behave like it, please. Thanks for being alongside for the ride. For Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby, we declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.